This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Series XM channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Joe Fortenbaugh, Shea Cornett filling in for the dudes this afternoon. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Welcoming your calls today because there's been a lot of them. 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. For now, we're going to get to our latest installment of NFL Two-A-Days.
This is ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days, the Denver Broncos.
It was time. It was time for the Seahawks to go their own way and for Russell Wilson to do the same thing.
It's a tremendous honor, and I'm really excited to be here, and it's been an amazing experience so far.
The old adage, if you don't have one, you don't have a chance. We got one in Russell Wilson, and I got to tell you, it feels pretty good. It just feels like, hey, we're playoff bound. Now it's just, can we win the AFC West or not?
Yeah, that would be the big question mark. Can they win the AFC West or not? What a division. We can't wait to see what Russell Wilson is going to do with the Broncos up in this upcoming season in 2022. Can't Wait is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Okay, so there's been a lot of changes in the AFC West, mostly with the Denver Broncos. Obviously, no more Russell Wilson in Seattle. He comes to the AFC West with the Denver Broncos. They have a new head coach there, Nathaniel Hackett, who comes from the Green Bay Packers. A lot of changes. This is a Broncos team that has felt like, we've been talking about it before they made the trade for Russell Wilson, that they were a quarterback away. Well, now they have their quarterback. Expectations, no pun intended, a mile high there. And so now what are they going to do with it, Joe?
Big fan of this Denver team this year. Big fan. From a Vegas perspective, here's how each team in the AFC West odds stack up so you understand who Vegas is ranking 1 through 4. Kansas City is your favorite to win the division, followed by Denver and the Chargers. They're tied at plus 250. What that means is a $100 investment would return $250 in profit if you were to bet that team and they won. And then the Raiders are bringing up the rear in fourth, but it's close. This is going to be the best division in football. I believe Denver has the edge. I would bet them plus 250 to win the division. Remember, in a tightly contested division, perhaps the most tightly contested in all the NFL, Denver could have the edge because they finished last season, which means they get a last place schedule. So their crossover games are against inferior teams, whereas Kansas City has to play a team like Buffalo because they finished first in the AFC East, much like Kansas City finishing first in the AFC West. Keep that in mind. This is also a Denver team that was primed to take a step forward this year one way or another. There are a couple metrics that were favorable. Number one, they went 7-10 last season, but they had a positive point differential. That means they scored more points than they gave up. If you score more points than you give up, you should have a winning record. So they underperformed their season by about 2 or 3 wins. In addition to that, they get rid of Vic Fangio, who's not a head coach in the NFL. Great defensive mind, but he wasn't cut out for that job. They add Randy Gregory, the pass rusher from Dallas, to their defense, and they already have a loaded offense. I think if you want to bet Russell Wilson to win the MVP at 16-1, you're not making a bad decision. Russ has never even gotten a vote for MVP in his entire career. Not
pains
one vote.
Me. Pains
and when,
me.
And when I've he was in so Seattle, he how many different offensive coordinators did he go through? Mm-hmm. Because some of these guys couldn't figure out how to unlock him. Like, it took late in his career before they started the phrase, let Russ cook, because they wanted to see him throw the ball more. With Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, I have a feeling we're going to see Russell Wilson possibly hit the best stride of his career. So 16-1 to win MVP is good value, in my opinion.
And look, you're adding Bradley Chubb, obviously, to that defensive side of the ball, too. You're getting everyone back healthy and at full strength. Yeah, I agree with you. I have said that so much, Joe, on these airwaves. Like, I can't believe Russell Wilson has never even gotten a vote. And every year that we feel like he's kind of in this thing, something kind of went wrong. Up until last season, he had never even suffered less than double-digit wins when he was in Seattle. So I think this is his year. In terms of, like, them winning the division or him getting an MVP, it's just hard for me to wrap my head around. Of that entire division, the only proven, really, head coach in that division, because there's been so much turnover in the AFC West, albeit with great players, is Andy Reid. Like, so that's why I would give the Kansas City Chiefs the nod to win that division and have the most consistency, just because there's so much turnover with the head coaches alone, and then obviously the different quarterbacks and personnel coming in as well. Devontae Adams with the Raiders, Russell Wilson with the Broncos, and you can go on down the line. And I just haven't seen it yet from the Chargers to believe. Everyone has been beating that Justin Herbert drum so hard. And I get it. He's a very talented player. But show me what you've done for me lately. Like, the Chargers frustrate me in late game situations. Obviously, what happened in that game where they had to win to get into the postseason in the timeout was so frustrating. Like, I just haven't seen the maturity or consistency from the Chargers to pencil them in. The conversation here, though, is about the Denver Broncos. And in terms of what Russell Wilson can do for a team that, as I said, has been just a quarterback away, is instrumental. Like, he can come in and instantly make this team a playoff contender. And I'll say this about Vic Fangio, because I followed him really closely. He was a defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, and I agree with you. I don't think that was the right job for him. I didn't think it was going to work out, and it ultimately didn't. I felt bad for him. But that defense got better when he was there. And they have a very good defensive-minded team there that understands what they are going to do going forward. And I think that can only be beneficial for this Denver Broncos squad as we embrace.
Without question, in addition to the home field advantage, you look at this division, it's a very unique division. Two teams have no home field advantage whatsoever. The Chargers share SoFi with the Rams. A lot of people use that as their vacation destination if they're going to follow their team on the road, because you get a chance to go to Southern California when it's warm in the winter. The Chargers have almost no home field advantage. Same with the Raiders here in Las Vegas. I would love to believe that there's a great home field advantage, but if you're a fan of New England, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Detroit, any of these teams that when the weather turns in the fall, you don't want to be there. If you're going to follow your team when they go out on the road, where are you going to go if they go to Las Vegas, right? Like, are you going to pick another destination over Vegas? New stadium, new venue, great place to hang out, great place to party, great place to see a game. All that's true. But it also means the Raiders have a very, very weak home field advantage. Denver with the altitude, Denver with the fan base in Colorado, like, that is a tough place to win a game, much like Arrowhead Stadium. So looking at the Chiefs and how they stack up in this, I understand why they're the favorite. But when you take Tyreek Hill off that offense, you are drastically changing what they go and do very, very well. Hill is so fast, so able to just blow the top off the defense and open it up for everybody else. Opposing defenses, those coordinators, they lose sleep trying to figure out how you're going to limit that guy from blowing the game wide open. With him not there anymore, with a questionable defense on that side of the ball, and with the Chiefs seemingly taking a step back each year since they won the Super Bowl, albeit small steps, but still steps back. I don't know if I'd say they're the favorite to win that division.
Yeah, I hear you. And also, let's just add so bitter to the list of things that Tyreek Hill is right now, because he also seems a little salty now that he's with the Dolphins and he's no longer with the Kansas City Chiefs. But I continue on here. That's a good point. I'll say this too. Like, when I covered a game in Denver, man, that altitude is real. And I know some teams take it more seriously than others. Some people say it's no big deal, but it is a true home field advantage for that Denver Broncos team that I feel like they haven't been able to really take advantage of, because they just haven't had all the pieces in place, whether that was through injury or not having a quarterback or the head coach is wrong or whatever. Like, now they can actually utilize that as a true home field advantage. Because let's say this, Joe, if there's two teams that are equally matched going to Mile High Stadium, like, I'd give the advantages to the Denver Broncos because of where they're playing. Like, that is a place that we haven't been able to utilize that home field advantage because of the other issues that they've had around that team.
100%. It's very difficult to go
game. Even with the kicking game.
Yeah, it's very difficult to go to Buffalo and win a game late in the year because it's cold and it's windy. A lot of teams aren't ready for that. It's tough to go to Miami in the first week of the season because of the humidity. Tough to go to Denver because of the altitude. Used to be very tough to go to Seattle because of the crowd noise. Same thing with New Orleans. There are teams that have very distinct home field advantages that, when you're talking about the point spread, might be worth half a point to a point when evaluating that situation. That might not seem like a lot, but it is. And then ultimately you have these teams that have virtually no home field advantage. Coming in the Las Vegas, it's not going to be hard when your opposing fans travel. We saw it last year with the Bears and the Eagles. Those fans traveled in tremendous fashion to come out here and see their teams play. You know, the same thing when it comes to the Chargers. Same thing late in the season when it comes to the Dolphins. How many people are showing up for those games? How hard is it to go into Miami and get a win in December? Not that hard if history tells us anything. So when you're Denver, you have that advantage working for you as well.
True that. We're going to stay with the Denver Broncos. So coming up, we'll bring in a former Bronco to weigh in on this team and their expectations this summer. Of course, that's after Joe tells you about Straight Talk Wireless.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. Really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless today. Now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Shea Cornett, Joe Fortenbaugh filling in this afternoon for Bart and Hunt. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you want to join the conversation, who do you think is going to finish first in the AFC West? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Well, someone who knows a thing or two about this division would be Nick Ferguson. He's a former Bronco, NFL DB, played 10 years in the league and 5 with the Broncos. And let's talk about what the expectations are for this team. Nick, good afternoon to you. Hopefully you are well. I don't know where you are if it is afternoon, but we'll roll with it anyways. we were talking a lot about, this Broncos team and the expectations. And one thing I said is it has been widely talked about that this team was one quarterback away from taking the next step. Well, they have that quarterback now in Russell Wilson. How quickly do you think he's going to be up to speed where we can start seeing some results of that quarterback away and now they have it on the field early on in this season?
Well, thanks for having me. And right away, you're going to see those results because you just mentioned the biggest conversation that's taken place in Denver over the past couple of years is what are we doing at the quarterback position, knowing as though when you look at the AFC, so many talented quarterbacks, and there's so many within the AFC West within itself. So usually when we have those phrases, hey, listen, we're only a quarterback away, we're only a player away, that is really true for the Denver Broncos. Case in point, we just have to look at Peyton Manning and what he was able to do to change the face of the franchise when he came to this place. And Russell Wilson is a guy who I'm going to say is a future Hall of Famer. He's been to the Super Bowl twice, and he has an extended skill set that Peyton Manning didn't have, and that's two things, a strong arm and he's very mobile. That can change a lot for you offensively and defensively. So it's going to be something that we're all looking here for in Denver for to be a great outing for the Broncos this season.
Nathaniel Hackett, a young offensive mind, takes over as head coach. This is a tough division to step into for your first head coaching gig. What should we expect from him in year one?
Well, to me, I'm the type of person I raise expectations for Nathaniel Hackett instead of lowering them, and this is why. I mean, you're just coming from the Green Bay Packers who have, found themselves over the past couple of years in Super Bowl contention. And you have one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the top quarterback right now, and Aaron Rodgers you spend a lot of time with. So coming into this situation, you know what the expectations are. You now have a quarterback in Russell Wilson who could match the skill set of Aaron Rodgers based on the talent that's been put around him on both offensive and defensive side. So this is going to be a great opportunity for Nathaniel Hackett to really come out and get outside of that whole idea of, hey, I spent a lot of my years with the Green Bay Packers, but now you are running your own team. You have your quarterback of the future, and now you just need to go in and show that you can compete with Derek Carr. You can compete with a Patrick Mahomes. You can compete with a Justin Herbert. And that's exactly what I'm expecting, and we're all expecting here in Denver.
Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Shea Cornett, Joe Fortenbaugh filling in for the guys when we were here along with Nick Ferguson, former Broncos NFL DB, talking about what this means for this upcoming season in this Broncos squad. As for some teams, I can't even believe this, we're like 10 days out from training camp. So it really feels like the season is starting to ramp up. We hit the quarterback, we hit the head coach. Now, what about the other pieces to this? It seems like they've got the running game in place. Hopefully they'll have the wide receiver figured out. On the offensive side of the ball, Nick, I know you played on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive side of the ball, is there any holes that you could see that you hope they get the kinks worked out here in training camp?
Well, yeah, and the biggest one for me, and it's not often talked about, it is the backup quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just talked about Russell Wilson and how much he means to this offense, but we're talking about a healthy Russell Wilson. I think we can look at any of the other 32 quarterbacks, all 31 quarterbacks around the league, and say, well, if Josh Allen were to get injured, who's going to man the quarterback position? So here in Denver, that is kind of a question for me. I'm knocking on wood right now. I don't expect Russell to get injured. But we know this is a long, arduous season. And if Russell was to go down, like in Seattle, we had that finger issue, who is going to take over? Is that the journeyman Josh Johnson? Is that Brett Rippon? For me, I would have to go with Josh Johnson. I know he's been in the league a long time. He hasn't been the premier starter in this league, but I just look at the skill set that is kind of equal to that of Russell Wilson, and that skill set is the reason Russell was sought after, and most of the athletic quarterbacks in the division are as well, is because they add a different element that every defensive coordinator would definitely have to plan for, and that's their mobility and their athleticism. So that is a question mark coming into this season for me. I want to see how this thing kind of battles out. But if I had to choose between Brett Rippon and Josh Johnson, it would be Josh Johnson.
If you look at the Vegas odds, Kansas City's a small favorite to win the division. The Chargers and the Broncos are tied for second, and the Raiders are right behind them in fourth. But I think most people you'll talk to will say that this is going to be the deepest and most competitive division in the NFL. Do you see it that way? The Chiefs is the favorite, the Chargers and Broncos on even footing, and then the Raiders in fourth?
No, I don't, and here's why. Maybe we would have said that in years past because of the chemistry between Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek Hill is no longer with the Chiefs, which is a breath of fresh air for us here in Denver. Now, he's someone else's problem in Miami, but when you look at Kansas City, they lost a big-time explosive weapon, and they have a bunch of young guys that they drafted this year that we don't know right now what those players are going to be like in year one. Now, they've drafted those young players for down the road, and we know right now Kansas City is a team that is still struggling to find their identity. The last time we saw Patrick Mahomes, he didn't look like himself. The Bengals made him look like an ordinary man. So his cape and the suit and the S on his chest was gone at a particular point. But the Raiders have gotten better. I mean, Max Crosby, I think he is one heck of a pass rusher, but you add Chandler Jones to that, and then you have Devontae Adams. So they're going to be ready to compete. So as I see this division someone shaping down, and this may sound as though I'm being biased and it's kind of a home attitude, I'm going to look at the Denver Broncos as potentially winning this division, and here's why. We just talked about Russell Wilson. Shay, you alluded to the run game and what that's going to look like with Melvin Gordon and, you know, the other running backs that the Broncos have, and they have a tremendous running back in Javonte Williams, and that two-headed monster is going to serve Russell well as far as the play action. But now we talk about how the offense helps the defense. And Bradley Chubb is a guy that I'm expecting big things out of this year, and in addition to Randy Gregory. They're going to have sensational years because the offense is going to keep the chain moving. We're talking 24 to 27 points per game, which is going to give those guys an opportunity to get after the quarterback. That's where the game changes for the Denver Broncos. So I know it sounds like I'm being a homer. I'm here in Denver. I play for the team. But the way that things shape out from a roster standpoint in this division, I believe that the Broncos can walk away with this division.
Hey, Nick, it's okay to be a homer. That's why we wanted to talk to you about this entire situation. And now's the time, dude. Like, you can roll with it. So in terms of what a successful season would look like this season for the Broncos, now you already talked about them potentially winning the division because they certainly have the pieces in place to do so. But what defines a successful season for a team that has missed the postseason, has turnover at the head coaching position, turnover at the quarterback position? What would a successful season look like for you?
Well, a successful season is having more than 9 wins. Under Vic Fangio, the Broncos couldn't break that ceiling of 10 wins. When I was here playing for Mike Shanahan and Pat Bowlen, that was kind of our mark. We wanted to get to the Super Bowl, not just the playoffs, but that meant that we had to have more than 10, 11 wins. So if Russell Wilson can do what I'm anticipating that he's able to do, we can see this Broncos with 13 wins this season. I think that's not like a far-fetched hot take when you look at the situation. But getting to the playoffs, 12 to 13 wins, and a lot of the offensive players having, you know, sensational seasons. I mean, we have KJ Hamler, we have Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton, those guys having productive years. And I'm not saying that the Broncos have to have 3,000-yard receivers. No. Are you moving the chains? Are you scoring in the red zone? And are we scoring more, averaging more than 16 points, you know, per game? That is a successful season. And also, from the defensive side, really quickly, if we can turn the ball over and create more turnovers than the Broncos created under, you know, Vic Fangio, things are there, definitely look up for the Broncos. So it's just taking baby steps, not the Super Bowl. That would be great. But these are areas that the Broncos can fine-tune to be much better in 2022 than they were in previous years.
Good news for you, Nick, is we've got Joe here, who's the expert in terms of Vegas and what they're expecting, and it looks like they're projecting 10 wins for those Denver Broncos. That's the over-under right now. So above 9, which would be a successful season, according to you. Nick Ferguson, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. That's Nick Ferguson. Obviously played for the Broncos for a really long time, providing some really good insight there in terms of what we can expect from that team going forward. You know, the road to the rematch is on as bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. All right, coming up, one key Laker continues to work his way back. And a star player is rewarded for his loyalty. We'll get to that in Audio Files next, right here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Joe Fortenbaugh, Shea Cornett filling in today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. The phone number here to reach us in case you want to weigh in, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Right now, it's the time where we step aside. We'll let the newsmakers do the talking. It's time for Audio Files.
Audio Files. The Audio File.
Okay, Rob Pelinka, Lakers GM, at Summer League out there in Joe's backyard in Las Vegas. And he was asked about Anthony Davis's offseason work, considering he was banged up quite often last season. Here's Rob Pelinka.
He's bought in, and I think he's quietly putting together one of the biggest off seasons of his career. You can just tell he's got a very serious tone about him, and you know, last year didn't unfold the way any of us wanted, and I think everyone's going to come back with a chip on our shoulder, and AD's going to lead us with that. I think he's working hard. I know he's working really hard on his body. Just excited to see what he's going to do.
I love AD. He's a Chicago dude, but he needs to be working really hard on his body because that was the 8th time in 10 seasons he failed to appear in 70 games for the Lakers, or for any team, for that matter. Pelicans, Lakers, doesn't matter. It's problematic, I think, how often he's injured, and it matters. For a Lakers team that was trying to build a big two with him and LeBron, it matters. He missed 17 games earlier last season before he went out for the majority of the second half, which was just over a month. He missed 30 consecutive games the season prior to that. In 2019, he missed almost 2 weeks. It's becoming now more of a consistent problem than it is a rarity. He was as healthy as could be in 2018, and then he's had a stretch where he's missed at least 2 weeks or three or four of the season since then. And again, that was either a month or a week or two over the past two seasons. He's got to get right. He needs to work on that body. I don't know if it means getting a new training staff or nutrition or whatever it is, but there are just some guys in the NBA or NFL, Joe, constantly banged up. And now, unfortunately, we need to add Anthony Davis to that list. I hope for the Lakers' sake he is healthy, but it's good to hear Rob Pelinka say he's really working on his body. That needs to be at the forefront of the conversation.
I love how Pelinka starts the answer to the question with, quote, he's bought in. Was there a question as to whether or not he's bought in? Like, was that an issue? Did that actually need to be addressed as to whether or not he was going to put in the work this offseason to get ready for next season? The reality of the situation for the Los Angeles Lakers, despite all the star power, is that they operate on thin margins. All right, they don't have the ability to see a guy go down with injury and still win a lot of games. Boston's the opposite of that, right? Like, we saw Robert Williams get hurt, but the Celtics continued to win games. They battled through injuries throughout the course of the regular season and the postseason, and they found ways to win games. Some teams are deeper and more balanced and can pull that off. Some teams cannot. enter the Los Angeles Lakers. To your point, everything you said about Davis's injury history, I don't need to add anything there. LeBron James getting older, how's the bench going to step up? Is there going to be a third piece? If you're bringing in Kyrie Irving, are you going to be able to bank on him to put the team first and show up for 75 plus regular season games and the playoffs? I don't think so. So despite the fact that it's LeBron's team, despite the fact that it's the Lakers, despite all the star power, there are still a lot of questions and a lot of concerns. And when you're talking about picking the next NBA champion, betting on the next NBA champion, that's a team I'm not coming anywhere near.
No, and then there's the Russell Westbrook drama and Kyrie Irving. And I'm sorry, Kyrie Irving doesn't erase the drama, not ever, and certainly not with the Los Angeles Lakers. Couldn't agree with you more, Joe. Let's move on to Damian Lillard. He added a lot of dollars to his bank account over the last few days, and he decided he is staying in Portland and has committed to the Trail Blazers. And so here he is on that commitment after signing a 2-year extension with the Blazers.
If I do something that goes against who I am, and say I do end up winning, I know me better than any of y'all know me. So I'd be happy with it, because I don't think anybody wouldn't be happy being a champion, but it wouldn't be as fulfilling to me as I would want that moment to be. As long as I have an opportunity to do it, you know, a good opportunity to do it, I'm willing to go out however.
All right, I love this whole situation with Damian Lillard. I love it with Bradley Beal, too. And I get it. These are two guys that are going to stay for the long haul, and they could very well walk away from an illustrious career with no rings. I got all that. But the fact is, I think it's good for the NBA to have players that are committed to franchises, cities, whatever it is. And Lillard said in this press conference, like, that's not the case so much in the NBA. People are committed to the names on the back and not the names on the front. And so I loved this. And I also love the fact that I realize there's not a lot of pressure that comes with this situation. Yes, does Damian Lillard want to win a chip? I'm sure. Who doesn't? He wouldn't be putting in all this hard work if he didn't. But there's not a lot of pressure that comes with this situation. He's going to make a ton of money. He doesn't have to move his family. He's with an organization he's comfortable with. And as long as they're competing somewhere in the postseason, not necessarily winning a chip, there's not pressure on him. And he's not going to get run out of town. Hey, Joe, if you gave me that exact same scenario, I think I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, it's quite comfortable. I mean, he's beloved there. He's a god there. He's going to go down as one of the franchise's all-time greats. Taking the extension solidifies that. It also sends a message to the organization. Look, man, I'm doing my part. I'm showing up year in and year out. I'm putting up the numbers. I need you to build around me in a competent way so I can compete. But I think we're burying the lead here. That extension for 2 years pays $61 million a year. I didn't say it was a 2-year extension for $61 million. I said it was a 2-year extension that pays $61 million a year, $122 million. So I love Lillard. I think he's a throwback. I think he's old school. He represents Oakland to the fullest. But yeah, you throw 2 years, $122 million at a lot of people, and you're going to see a lot of loyalty there. I'll tell you that much.
And not
saying he did it because of the money. Want to make that clear.
No,
just making
no.
A joke.
I hear you. But not for nothing. Like, we talk about Damian Lillard being loyal to that organization and to that town. Like, give it to the Trailblazers. Like, there's no drama with this situation. There was no back and forth. The media wasn't drug into this. What he wanted, he got. A 2-year extension, all this money, $122 million, no problem. Here you go. Sign on the dotted line. You've earned this. Thank you for being a good face of the franchise for us. And I think that's not always commonplace in the NBA or any other league for there to be an organization and a player that just work together seamlessly. Look, the only time we thought Damian Lillard was looking elsewhere was after that Nuggets series. What was that? 2 or 3 years ago when they lost, and he was like, man, this one really hurts. Maybe this isn't the place for me. Other than that, Joe, I can't remember a time when I thought Dame wasn't happy with where he was, even regardless of the fact that I don't even know if they have a plan in terms of how they're going to build around him. But I will say the Blazers, at least by Damian Lillard, they've done well. Now, can they take it a step further and help build around him where he can actually be led to a championship, what he really wants? I don't know. But I don't think we should just take that for granted, because not a lot of organizations just step up to the plate and do the right thing the way they did.
And this is a big message to young players coming up in the NBA. Lillard's a guy, much like Steph Curry, who's going to spend his entire career in one place. He's making that commitment. Now, is the organization going to make the commitment to the player? Are you going to have competent coaching? Are you going to have a competent front office? Are you going to build correctly around him? You don't have to win titles, but you have to be competitive, and you have to do what's in the best interest of the organization, right? Young players watch these things. And if they see Dame Lillard spend his entire career in Portland, and Portland fumble the ball at every turn when it comes to improving the roster, improving the coaching staff, improving the front office, dudes are going to have less incentive to be loyal to organizations, and they're just going to be hired guns moving from situation to situation that they think is in the best interest of them. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but this is big for the Blazers to show that they've got Lillard's back, much like he has their back.
True. All right. Earlier today, we spoke about what could be the best division in the NFL. Both of us agreed it could be very well the AFC West. But what about the worst division in the NFL? We'll discuss that next. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
The Nets are going to blow things up. KD wants out. Kyrie wants out. And according to our Brian Windhorst, actually, the Kyrie trade conversations have paused for now, or they're quote unquote frozen because the priority is now Kevin Durant. Take that for what you will. Let's go to Trey in Florida, wants to weigh in on the situation. Trey, what's going on?
All right, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say, and I wanted you guys expert opinion on, I know there's no one direct route for one team to have enough to get Kevin Durant. So me being a Miami Heat fan all my life, grew up with them, I'm kind of thinking that we don't even need to go for KD. I feel like there could be a four-team trade with the Lakers, the Nets, Utah, and who's my last team? There's one more team that needs to be thrown in here to make it all work, because I think if we can get Donovan Mitchell to Miami alongside Ben Simmons, so that way that gets Ben Simmons out of the Nets, so therefore we can send Bam up to the Nets, and then that gives them Bam, because you know Bam and Ben Simmons can't be on the same roster for whatever reason with that whole thing that everybody just learned about, and then send Kyrie to the Lakers where he needs to be reunited with LeBron, and then get some picks later on down the road and all that stuff, and that kind of would make the money work for everybody is what I'm thinking about.
Okay, Trey, thank you so much for the call. Little hard for me to follow, Joe. I don't know if you did, but essentially a 3-4 team trade that would get them along with Ben Simmons out of Brooklyn. Your thoughts?
I'd say call Bobby Marks, because he'd be the guy that'd be able to break down what we just listened to, not necessarily me. I would say this, if you're the Miami Heat, when you're looking to acquire someone, Donovan Mitchell would be fantastic. The big problem with acquiring Durant is the Rudy Gobert trade. You know, once someone gives up 5 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert, you've set a precedent. What's the price tag for Kevin Durant? And it's not just the picks. Forget about the picks. Who cares about the picks? Because so many of those miss in the NBA anyway. Like, how often does pick number 27 work out, right? The reality is, if the Nets want back star talent and you're trading for Durant, you're trading for Durant to win now. I know he says he wants to go to Phoenix, but how is he going to land in Phoenix and then Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and some of the other key pieces are still there? You're going to have to give something up. That's what makes it so challenging. That's what makes it so tough.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know where a good landing spot is, honestly, for Kevin Durant. Like, we talked about the Heat. Obviously, earlier we were talking about the Warriors. Like, those two don't feel right. Like,
Toronto.
Maybe Toronto is a good spot for him, in a place he hasn't played just yet. All right, we got more. Bart and Han coming right up.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Joe Fortenbaugh, Shea Cornett filling in for the guys here for the rest of the afternoon. Earlier today, we were talking about the best division in the NFL. AFC West feels obvious. Last year, I know we talked a lot about the NFC West, which now with the Seattle situation seems to have a bit of a drop-off. I know I'm probably missing a very clear other division that'll be stacked. But what about the worst division in the NFL this upcoming season? Even the worst team. I just mentioned Seattle. Joe, earlier, you thought that this could be a squad that could be perhaps the worst team in the NFL. But what about worst division? What do you think?
Worst division, there's a few candidates here. I mean, you go to the AFC East and you know the Bills are going to be solid. Are the Patriots going to be very good? They're probably good enough to give you two quality teams. And I know people are high on Miami. The Jets should improve, so they're probably out of the equation. The North is out of the equation because you're going to have at least a couple good teams there. The West is out of the equation. The South is intriguing because for me, I'm very big on Indianapolis. I cannot believe the price that Vegas has put on them to win the AFC South. They were plus 110 a few months ago, which meant a $100 investment returns 110 in profit if you win. I don't think the rest of that division is ready to compete. I really don't. Jacksonville's going to take a step forward with Doug Peterson, but they're not going to be competitive to the point where they can win the division. I think Lovie Smith brings some professionalism to Houston. Maybe they take a step forward, but they're not going to compete for the title. I think Tennessee's going to take a big step back. Not giving the money to A.J. Brown was a big message that they didn't want to spend. So he's gone. The wide receiver unit is depleted. You got Derrick Henry, who's going to have to carry the workload against 7-8-man boxes that are going to be stacked against him. Tannehill's got the rookie Malik Willis breathing down into his neck, and we all know how Tannehill handles pressure. Spoiler, it's not good. He always folds. I think the Colts could run away with that division. I can't believe they're like minus 110 to win it. That could be the worst division in football because you already have some teams that aren't really all that marketable in Jacksonville and Houston, and if Tennessee falls off, it's really just a one-horse race. Pun intended.
I'll take the AFC South all day long. And this pains me to say what I'm about to say because this is my home base. But I think it's the NFC North. I thought last year it was going to be the NFC North. Move aside NFC East because, look, when you look at the NFC East, and I feel like that's the barometer for worst division in football. It just is. I mean, that's what we compare every other division to.
As Dallas an Eagles Cowboys. Fan, take it easy, Cornette.
I'm sorry, but that's just the reality. Cowboys are going to be good. Eagles are going to be much improved after a 9-8 season last year. The Commanders, you'd think, would take a step forward. And I think the Giants are going to be a lot better, too, with Brian Daboll obviously under center now. And so I'll look to the NFC North. Again, this is hard for me to talk about, but it's true. The Bears, they're going to stink this year. The Lions, they had 3 wins last year. We were all jumping up and down because we were so excited for the Lions and Dan Campbell. 3 wins. That's it. The Minnesota Vikings, they'll hover around, 8-9, 9-8. 10-7, something like that, which isn't bad, but it's not qualifiers for the best division in football. And then the Green Bay Packers will be good and they'll be in the postseason, and that's all fine and dandy. But show me another team in the NFC North where you've got one clear-cut winner, one clear-cut team that's going to the postseason, and then the rest are either mediocre to bad. There's not. Like, I'll compare it to the division you just said, Joe. In the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans, yes, could take a step back, but let's say they go 10-7, still better than I think what the Minnesota Vikings could do. The Indianapolis Colts could definitely be in the postseason. The Houston Texans won 4 games last year, and now they've got an adult as their head coach, who, because I love Lovie Smith, who I think will help things there on not only on the defensive side of the ball, but now you're believing in Davis Mills, and I already thought he overachieved for what we thought he was going to be last season, and you actually have a plan there in Texas, and the Jags have got to be better now with Doug Peterson and no more Urban Meyer, and obviously help around Trevor Lawrence. And so for me, I'll take the NFC North all day, every day. What about worst team in the NFL? I feel very negative, but that's okay. Worst team in the NFL this upcoming season. Who's going to have the number one overall pick next year in the draft?
Man, I don't want to say it considering who I'm working with, but I do lean to the Chicago Bears there. I just think the Bears have gone out of their way to tell the world that this is a long-term project, that this is a rebuild. You got rid of Khalil Mack, and you already had issues on the defensive line. You've made some improvements to the offensive line, but not nearly enough. Allen Robinson left. I mean, what do you have there? What do you have? You have opportunity. Maybe you can split with Minnesota. You should be able to split at the least with Detroit. We know how your life goes against Green Bay. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot there. I'm not sure if Justin Fields is the guy. Maybe he is. It was a tough season last year. He was put in an awful situation. But the Bears, for a while, have been a poorly run organization. Last year, the decision to go ahead and keep Matt Nagy as the head coach and Ryan Pace as the general manager, to keep them when you should have gotten rid of them, then look at the ripple effect of that decision. So it's a bad decision to keep them. Then they realize their jobs are on the line. So they mortgage the future to trade up in the draft and get Justin Fields. Then they bottom out. You fire both guys and hire a new organization that comes in and has to inherit Fields. Let me ask you something. What if they don't like Fields? And before you say that they do, because that's why they took the job, a lot of us would say a lot of things to get that job. So you say what you do to get in, you get the guaranteed contract, and then you work from there. That is not how you build an organization. Hire the GM. The GM goes and gets the coach. The GM and coach work together to go out and get the quarterback. That is how you make sure everyone's on the same page. That is how you make sure people are organizationally aligned. The Bears are not organizationally aligned. It's not going to surprise me in the least if them or the Atlanta Falcons come away with the worst record in the NFL this season.
What did I do to deserve this? I don't even understand. Joe, this is our first time working together.
You accepted the task of filling in today.
Yeah, what the heck? I thought we were friends here, and you just totally
threw... We're cool. I started the whole thing by saying I'm sorry that I had to do this with you as my co-host today.
Thank you, because that's really the ultimate caveat. I'm sorry, now let me just bury the team you've rooted for your entire life.
It's like that no disrespect, but, because you know disrespect is coming. Like, just because you said no disrespect does not mean you get to disrespect me now.
Exactly. I'm not going to totally disagree with you, but I will. I don't think the Bears are going to be worse than the Lions. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't at all. I think the way that they're going to hopefully stage this season is to show some growth in Justin Fields. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but I also hope that their what should be their franchise quarterback does not get buried behind a bad offensive line. That being said, just because the Lions are in that division, if they weren't, then I would totally completely agree with you. I also know the Bears have cleared up a monstrous amount of cap space for next season. So next season will be the year where they're actually trying. This year is more about growth. I'm going to lean toward the Seattle Seahawks. I think this is a team without a plan, a team that they know they can go in the bottom direction. I don't know what's going on with DK Metcalf there, but I think the Seahawks are in a really tough division with the Rams, Cardinals, and Niners, all teams that could be in the postseason in a wild card spot, could beat up on the Seahawks to obviously help their record, and I think the Seahawks are really going to struggle this season and will find themselves for the first time in a long time with the number one overall pick in next year's draft. We're talking two-a-days here on Barton Hahn, and we have been for the past month or so, and today's two-a-days is going to go to Denver, and that is where we're going to discuss that team and continue to talk about a team trying to replace a longtime quarterback. We'll do that next. So you're listening to Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.